the most desired of treasures has long been decayed. When the tallest of our mountains no longer will stand, the sun will still be shining in glory land. Yes, the sun will still be shining, shining so bright. Though stormy clouds can gather, no shadows of night. After silver turns to ashes and gold turns to sand, the sun will still be shining in glory land. When the water from sin's fountain no longer is sweet, I'll partake of milk and honey sitting at the Savior's feet. When our castles will have crumbled that once stood so grand, the sun will still be shining in glory land. Yes, the sun will still be shining, shining so bright. Though stormy clouds can gather, no shadows of night. After silver turns to ashes and gold turns to sand, the sun will still be shining in glory land. After silver turns to ashes and gold turns to sand, the sun will still be shining in glory.
Once again today, we're going to be reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23, that being verses 39 through 43. Here in this passage, the Word of God says this: "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Doest not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for the privilege of being able to open thy precious word and bring another message. I pray as we bring the message today that you will speak to me and speak through me. Help me to save every word that needs to be said. And Lord, we ask you to save the soul that's nearest hell. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Today, we want to bring the eighth part of the message entitled The Second Saying of Christ from the Cross. The Second Saying of Christ from the Cross. In the weeks prior, we have given an introduction concerning the sayings of Christ from the cross. As Christ hung upon the cross at Calvary, he spoke seven words or seven sayings. Seven in the Word of God is a numerical number for perfection. My friend, we find perfection in the death cries of Jesus Christ. Now, when we study these seven sayings of Christ from the cross, we find that they can be looked at as follows. The first saying of Christ from the cross involves intercession. The second saying involves salvation. The third saying involves affection. The fourth saying involves desolation. The fifth saying involves lamentation. The sixth saying involves jubilation. And the seventh saying involves resignation. Now, during this series, we are only dealing with the second saying of Christ from the cross. Here in Luke chapter 23, in verses 39 through 43, we find the second saying of Christ from the cross, as well as the last two companions of Christ upon this earth before his death. Here in this chapter, we find Christ crucified between two thieves. Now, there are various reasons why God allowed his beloved Son to be crucified between two thieves. But one reason that God allowed his beloved Son to be crucified between two thieves was so that in these three crosses and the ones that hung upon them, we would have a representation of the drama of salvation and man's response thereto. Here in Luke chapter 23, in verses 39 through 43, we find three crosses and three things. First, we have the sinner rejecting. The sinner rejecting in verse 39. Second, we find the sinner receiving. The sinner receiving in verses 40 through 42. And then third, we find the Savior redeeming. The Savior redeeming in verse 43. Now in the weeks prior, we've already dealt with verses 39 through 41 and with the most part of verse 42. For when we went off the air last week, we were dealing with the closing words of this particular verse. And as we were dealing with the closing words of this verse, we directed the attention of our listeners to the fact that the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 21, tells us that he preached repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think both of these things are found here in this passage of Scripture. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God is right before us in verses 40 and 41. And then we find that faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ is right before us in verse 42. Now, on the broadcast last week, we dealt with the repentance toward God that is set before us here in verses 40 and 41. Therefore, I'm not going to say too much concerning this today, but I do want to say this. Repentance involves a change of mind. Here in verse number 40, we find a change of mind concerning sin. Here we find that this thief said, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. Here we find a change of mind concerning sin. Not only that, but here in verse number 40, we find a change of mind concerning the sovereign. Here we find that this thief said, dost not thou fear God? Fear God. Here we find a change of mind concerning the sovereign. Not only that, here in verse 41, we find a change of mind concerning self.
For here we find that this he said, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. So we find, my friend, that here, in verses 40 and 41, repentance toward God is set before us. Now this time, I want you to notice that in verse number 42, we find faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Here in verse 42, the Word of God says this, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now I want you to take note of the fact that this thief used the word kingdom here in verse number 42. Here we find this thief said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now, my friend, a kingdom involves a king. A kingdom involves a king. Now, with that in mind, I want to direct your attention to a verse found earlier in this chapter. That being verse number 38. Here the Word of God says this, and a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. My friend, this speaks about a superscription that was over Christ as he hung upon the cross. This superscription said, this is the King. This is the King of the Jews. I will remind you that this thief here in verse 42 used the word kingdom. And my friend, a kingdom involves a king. And here we find that this superscription that was hung over Christ while Christ was on the cross, this superscription said, this is the King of the Jews. My friend, this was the truth. This was the truth. And we find that this thief said before us in verses 40 through 42, believed the truth. This thief believed the truth concerning Christ because he used the word kingdom here in verse number 42. My friend, by faith, this thief looked beyond the sufferings of Christ to the glory. By faith, this thief looked beyond the cross and detected the crown. Oh yes. Here in verse number 41, this thief spoke of Christ as the sinless one. Here in verse number 41, speaking of Christ, this thief said, but this man hath done nothing amiss. My friend, here, this thief speaks of Christ as the sinless one. Then we find here in verse number 42, we find that this thief speaks of Christ as the saving one. We find that in the words, remember me. Remember me. Here we find this thief spoke of Christ as the saving one. But not only that, here in verse number 42, we find that this thief spoke of Christ as the sovereign one. As the sovereign one. We find that in the word kingdom, as he's found here in verse number 42. My friend, this thief believed the truth concerning Christ. This thief believed the truth concerning Christ. My friend, this man's faith, this thief's faith, lay hold on the Word of God. His faith rested on the Word. We find that this thief exercised a hard faith which rested savingly on Christ. Oh, yes, my friend, this thief believed the truth concerning Christ. So here in verse number 42, we find faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 40 and 41, we find repentance toward God. And then here in verse 42, we find faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me say this also. My friend, salvation is by grace through faith. Salvation is by grace through faith. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Salvation is not of works. This is told us in Ephesians chapter 2 with verses 8 and 9. My friend, this thief on the cross could not help himself. He was helpless. This reminds me of what Paul tells us concerning those that are unsaved in Romans chapter number 5. In Romans chapter 5, the Word of God tells us that those that are lost, those that are unsaved, are without strength. They are strengthless. Or in other words, they are helpless. They cannot help themselves. Oh, yes. Listen, my friend. This thief could not walk the pace of righteousness, for his feet was nailed to a cross. This thief could not perform any good works, for his hands was nailed to a cross. This thief could not turn over a new leaf and live a better life, for he was dying. He was dying. Listen, my friend. It was useless to talk to this thief about doing or going. And I might say right here, those that preach salvation by works emphasize doing and going. My friend, it was useless to talk to this thief about doing or going. His hands, while he had use of them, had been stretched forth in deeds of violence. Now they were bound to a cross. He could do nothing. His feet, while he had use of them, had trodden the terrible path of the transgressor. Now they were bound to a cross and could not carry him anywhere. But listen, my friend, although he no longer had the use of his hands and feet, yet we find the use or action of his heart and tongue. And in Romans chapter 10 and in verses 9 and 10, the Word of God tells us that it is with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How suited these words are to this thief on the cross. Although he no longer had the use of his hands and feet, yet we find the use or action of his heart and tongue. My friend, concerning this thief set before us here in verses 40 through 42, we're shown up to the fact that he's saved at all, and he was saved. We're shown up to the fact that he's saved at all, he was saved by grace. Thank God for his marvelous, amazing, wonderful grace. Oh, yes. Salvation is by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. Now, this time, I also want to say this. This thief believed the truth concerning Christ when everything looked negative. This thief believed on Christ when the outward circumstances all seemed to go against what he believed.
My friend, this was probably the first time that this thief had ever saw Christ. This was probably the first time that this thief had ever saw Christ. And we find that when he sees Christ here, it is during the time of the Redeemer's weakness. This was the time of the Redeemer's weakness, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 4. My friend, to outward appearance, it looked like Christ had lost all power to save either himself or others. But yet, we find this thief believed the truth concerning Christ. Yet, we find this thief believed on Christ. Oh, yes. He believed the truth concerning Christ when everything looked negative. He believed the truth concerning Christ when the outward circumstances all seemed to go against what he believed. My friend, this thief did not see Christ seated on the throne, but he saw him nailed to a cross. This thief did not see Christ wearing a royal diadem, but he saw him wearing a crown of thorns. This thief did not see a multitude of subjects bowing before Christ, but he saw a gang. He saw a crowd of howling, mocking scoffers. Yet, this thief believed the truth concerning Christ. He believed on Christ when everything looked negative. Now, right here, I also want to say this. This thief believed the truth concerning Christ before. And I am emphasizing the word before. This thief believed the truth concerning Christ before God's power was manifested that day in the 3 hours of darkness. Before God's power was manifested that day in the rending of the veil of the temple. Before the earth did quake. Before the rocks split. Before the graves were opened. He believed the truth concerning Christ before all of this happened. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. This thief was not saved by seeing something, but he was saved by believing something. Oh, yes. This thief was not saved by seeing a miracle, but he was saved by believing the truth concerning Christ. Today, are you listening? Today, a lot of people say, well, preacher, I'd get saved if God would let me see this or see that. My friend, this thief was not saved by seeing a miracle. He was saved by believing the truth concerning Christ. Listen to me. This thief set before us here in verse 39. This thief wanted to see a miracle. This thief said to Christ, he said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Take note of the words, save thyself and us. My friend, this thief, here in verse 39, wanted to see a miracle. But we find that this thief died in unbelief and went to hell. But my friend, this thief here, in verses 40 through 42, this thief believed the truth concerning Christ and experienced a miracle. He experienced the miracle of the grace of God. Oh yes, most certainly this is so. That's as far as we're going today with a message entitled, The Second Saying of Christ from the Cross. But in closing today, I want to say this. One refined woman said to a preacher one day, she said, "You do not mean to say I have to go to heaven like the dying thief, do you?" The preacher said, "No, you do not have to. If you reject Christ, you will have to go to hell with the other thief that is set before us in verse 39. My friend, listen, all that get saved do so in like manner as the thief on the cross in verses 40 through 42. That being by the marvelous, amazing grace of God. Salvation is by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. If you're not saved, right now, bow your head and from your heart, exercise faith in the finished work and in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon the Lord and ask Him to save you, and He will. And you'll know it. Thank you.
I have made how be so that your heart not be for I know two things bear you away. Treat the soul with suffer and this love for our shepherd. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace.
You've been listening to the Back to Calvary program with Reverend Wayne Dyer. Address all mail concerning this program to Reverend Wayne Dyer, 1902 South Main Street, Mount Airy, Maryland, 21771. Join us again next week for the Back to Calvary program.
Forever, thank the Lord for His marvelous grace.